This week in the U.S., in the United States, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Those of you who are either not in the U.S. or celebrate Thanksgiving in your country on another day, this message does not leave you out. This message goes along the theme of Thanksgiving, but is not exclusive to the U.S. holiday. So this message is important to all of us. But as we prepare to think about and consider this Thanksgiving season, I want us to make sure that we include the doctrine of the giving of thanks, the biblical perspective, so that this does not get overshadowed by the busyness of the holiday. Amen. So go with me, if you will, to your Bibles in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, today's text will be found in verses 15 through 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. When you're there, you can say amen. And there it reads, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." I'd like to use for a title today, Everyday Thankfulness. Everyday Thankfulness. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have gathered us together for this time to enjoy your presence, to celebrate you in praise and in worship, to fellowship with each other and with you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And you've gathered us together, Father, to hear from you out of your word, O God. You've prepared a meal for us. You've prepared a table for us that we should partake of your teaching, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive what you have prepared for us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I humble myself to nothingness, that you would be everything within me, and that your word would go forth and perform that which you have purposed it to perform, and that it would not return back void. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you, and we praise you. In Jesus' precious holy name, we say amen, amen, and amen. Thanksgiving. Those of us who celebrate it in the United States or with our families, sometimes we have traditions, and I've seen it in many families and many dinner tables, even my own growing up. You went around the table and you talked about the things that you were thankful for. And personally, when I was a kid, when that happened, I struggled to find something that sounded important enough to be thankful for. I didn't want to sound like the one being thankful for minor things. I'm just thankful for, you know, my friends and thankful for my school and things like that. I wanted to sound deep. For some reason, when I was a kid, I wanted to be older than what I really was. So I struggled in my mind to think of something deep to be thankful for. As I grew up and as I became more mature in my faith, I began to realize, you know, that doesn't matter. However, we as Christians still find ourselves in situations where we do not take the giving of thanks seriously. And I want to walk through this story in order to illustrate the importance of the giving of thanks, even beyond the holiday, even beyond Turkey Day, even beyond everything that we are going to go through this week, all of the festivities of family visits and cooking and traditions and whatever you do to celebrate Thanksgiving. What I want you to keep in your mind and in your heart is what we talk about today, so that it does not get overshadowed by the festivities and the hustle and bustle of what you are preparing for this week. So let's go through the context of the passage. In Luke chapter 17, the story begins in verse 11. And there it reads, "And it came to pass as he went through Jerusalem," as he went to Jerusalem, rather, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Okay, so what we see here is Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, and in order to get to Jerusalem from where he was, he had to travel through Samaria and Galilee. And so apparently as he was traveling on his way, he met up with some lepers, 10 to be exact. Now, what's important about this is it specifically says that the lepers stood afar off. And the reason for this was, according to law, lepers could not, had to be quarantined and detached from public society. So they need to stay away from the public. And that is specifically why it says in verse 13 that they lifted up their voices, because they couldn't rush toward anyone. They needed to call out to them because they were afar off. But they were able to see that it was Jesus passing by. And so from their distance, they called out to him. In verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" So you have a group of lepers that are not allowed to engage in public society, yet they are suffering from a debilitating disease. And as a result, they are trying to find some help, and they see the source of their help from a distance, and they call out to him. Verse 14, Jesus says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Two important things here, few important things here, and we'll walk through them. First, Jesus says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Why is that important? Well, first of all, we were still under, even though Jesus was present at this time, the institution of the new covenant had not taken place, right? So that means that they were still under old covenant law. Just because the Gospels are in the New Testament, during the time Jesus walked the earth, they were still under old covenant law, which means under old covenant law, Levitical law, those that had been cleansed from certain diseases and impurities had to show themselves to the priest so that they would be officially declared clean and that any public restrictions and quarantines would be lifted. And you can find reference of this in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, where we see the cleansing laws. And specifically in Leviticus 13 and 2 and Leviticus 14 and 2, it specifies that those that had a skin disease, such as leprosy, if they were cleansed from that disease, then they needed to show themselves to the priest so that the priest would declare them clean. Now, notice what Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't say to them, "You're healed." He doesn't say to, he doesn't lay his hands on them. Or the Bible doesn't say that he does. All he says is, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, I'm sure that they've heard of the things Jesus done in the past. I'm sure that they've heard of the miracles, and I'm sure they were expecting something similar. But the blessing about their reaction is they go, they obey. And so there is no indication here. There is no evidence that they were cleansed immediately. Obviously, they were not, because the passage says as they went, they were cleansed. So they weren't healed when Jesus saw them. They weren't healed when Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Sometime between the time Jesus commanded them and on their way, they looked down and said, wait a minute, we're cleansed. Sometime on the way to doing what they were supposed to do, follow me here. You see, Jesus made them do what they were required to do as a part of the normal order of the day. How many of you have a normal course of living? You get up, you get dressed, you go to work, you do your job, you get off of work, you come home, you pick up the kids from school, you make dinner, or you run some errands, you buy groceries. Day-to-day life, you got to get the car repaired, you got to change the oil, you got to fill up on gas. You are doing those things in life that are required of you. You see, these lepers had a disease. However, Jesus healing them of their disease, or Jesus giving them a commandment, did not exempt them from going to do what was required of them. We all have requirements in life, and as we go about those requirements in life, when we do those things in faith, just because we do not see the immediate reaction, the immediate outcome, doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And so what these lepers did is, by faith, they responded to Jesus' command and say, okay, I guess we'll just go show ourselves to the priest. What's interesting about it is, you're supposed to go and show yourself to the priest after you see that you've been cleansed. They started going before they saw that they had been cleansed. Wow. What faith. They went by faith to show themselves to the priest simply because Jesus told them to. We as Christians, we operate in faith, don't we? We walk by faith and not by sight. We get up in the morning, and because we're saved and because we're Christians, we operate and we live by faith. But every once in a while, our living by faith simply becomes a mundane existence. And sometimes we start existing by faith instead of living by faith. What do I mean by that? We take Christ for granted. We just start existing. We acknowledge the fact that we're saved. We acknowledge the fact that we're Christians. We even live holy lifestyles, yet we take our faith for granted. How do we know that's the case here? Well, in our text, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. There were 10. Only one turned back. Only one of them stopped during the course of his duty to give thanks to the Lord. How many of you, during the course of your duty, during the course of your life, during the course of your living by faith, have ever looked around and realized, wait a minute, something is right in my life. Something's better in my life. How many of you on your way to or from work? How many of you on your way to or from school? How many of you, when executing the daily obligations of life, have looked down and realized, wait a minute, something's right about my life, and took a second to say, thank you? Not like me, who's searching for the deep things to thank God for, but looked around and said, wait a minute, something's right about this. Something's good about this. You see, it only took one, but what's important about this one person that turned around? The Bible says he was a Samaritan. Why is that important? Well, because Jews and Samaritans didn't make good play buddies. They didn't play well in the sand. Right? Because Jesus was a Jew, and Jews and Samaritans, they butted heads. They had a different belief system and a different interpretation of Jewish law. And so Jesus, as a Jew, shouldn't have had anything to do with a Samaritan, and the Samaritan shouldn't have had anything to do with Jesus as a Jew. And so he was, out of all 10 of them, he was the last one that was to be expected to turn around. So it can be assumed that the rest of those in the leper colony were Jews. And this one was a Samaritan, and he was the one that turned around. Now, what's also good to notice here is this man was a double outcast, because not only was he a Samaritan, but remember, he was a leper. And so he was an outcast from society, and nobody liked him. So I bet he was the outcast of the group of lepers. Even though they had to hang together because they had to be quarantined, I bet the other nine didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was a double outcast, yet he was the one that turned around. You see, what we have to realize is if this outcast, if this double outcast, when going about his duty, saw fit to turn around and give thanks to the Lord, then how much more should we, whom Jesus Christ sees fit and considers it not robbery to call us brother, who once called us strangers when we were unsaved and now calls us brother now that we're saved, how much more should we be able to glorify God at the moment we have an opportunity? Everyday faithfulness. Not just a certain Thursday in November, not just once a year, not just in order to fulfill family traditions, but when you look around in your life, when you look around in your day, you realize that there's something to thank God for. And what we have to realize is that thanking God and glorifying God, it doesn't disrupt your day. It doesn't call you away from the office. It doesn't make you hang up the phone. It doesn't make you stop what you're doing. It just acknowledges that something happened in your life, and it has to do with Jesus Christ. Jesus says to him in verse 19, "Arise. Go thy way in the Greek is poriomahi, which means to pursue the journey on which one has entered. You see, after the Samaritan turned back to say thank you, Jesus says, arise, go back to what you were doing. Continue on one's journey. It means to go forth and live. You see, it doesn't take a special occasion for you to thank God. You shouldn't have had to wait to get here today to thank God. You shouldn't have had to wait for a song to send chills down your spine to say thank you. It shouldn't have had to take a certain scripture to make you feel like saying thank you. It shouldn't have to take a certain event in order for you to say thank you. Just the fact that you're on your journey, and while you're on the journey, something drops in you and realizes, wow, I just want to say thank you. Many of us, we may have situations that are not as dire as these men. Well, you know, of course, Pastor, these men were lepers. They had a debilitating disease, and you know, of course, he's going to turn around and say thank you. He was healed from this disease, but everything seems to be going all right for me right now. And sometimes we forget to thank God because we're waiting for this catastrophic event to be solved. We're waiting for that magic check to come in the mail. We're waiting for that terminal disease to be healed. We're waiting for some huge testimony to tell before we thank God. But every once in a while I'm driving on the road in the fourth largest city in the country with millions of vehicles on the road, and I see one in an accident, and I say, Lord, bless those people, but thank God for keeping me. You see, what are the odds that every day that I get up that I'm still the one that makes it to work alive? What are the odds that out of everybody on this earth that I'm still the one that makes it back home? What are the odds that of all these statistics of people dying and getting sick and getting diseases that I'm still the one that's living? Thank you, my God. But sometimes we forget along the way. Jesus sent you to do this. He sent you to do that. He sent you to do this. And while you're existing and living in faith, you take your faith for granted. And I'm here to tell you, while you're on your journey, while you're executing your duty, while you're walking by faith and not by sight, take a minute to look around you and realize that something is good in your life and say thank you. See, you don't need to wait for something huge to thank God for. It's common courtesy. You say thank you to the person giving your receipt in the grocery line. Why can't you thank Jesus? You can say thank you to the person that's doing something for you on a regular part of your day. If you're at work and somebody opens the door for you, you say thank you. Don't take your God for granted. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the Greek is en, en, which means it's a primary preposition denoting a fixed position. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. That means wherever you are, whatever the circumstance, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise, give thanks. You don't need to wait for the situation to be right. You don't need to wait for the situation to get fixed. You don't need to wait until the opportunity arises. You don't have to wait to get to the person's house in order to thank God because he's everywhere. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time, at the right moment, with the right feeling. There is no designation in order for you to thank God in everything. Everything in the Greek is pas. Pas, it's all. Any, every, the whole, whatsoever, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, whatever the circumstances are. You see, sometimes we don't thank God because the circumstances aren't right. Sometimes we quit thanking God until everything's, I don't have a reason to thank God. I'm still sick. I'm still dealing with this. I'm still dealing with that. I'm still hurting. I'm still depressed. I'm still bitter. I'm still frustrated. What do I have to thank God for? Well, let me tell you something, baby. Just because you think that life ain't all that it should be, don't mean that it ain't all that it could be. And remember that God snatched you out of the pit of hell. He snatched you out of the club. He snatched you out of the bar. He snatched you from out of the pit of hell. And there's something for you to thank God for. Too many of us need to quit complaining about what's going on because there's more to thank God for than there is to complain about. There's more to thank God for than there is to complain about. Psalm 136 and 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. I don't care what you can come up with to complain about. I don't care what you can come up with to grumble about. But these two things alone trump everything. The fact that he's good and the fact that his mercy endureth forever. And you don't need to wait until something big happens. I don't care if he cures you from cancer or from the common cold. I don't care if he raised you from the dead or just got you out of your bed. You got something to thank God for. You got something to thank God about. Quit complaining about your job and thank God that you have one. Quit complaining about your marriage and thank God for your husband. Thank God for your wife. Quit complaining about everything that's going wrong and thank God for the things that he's doing right, namely the fact that he calls you brother. Every day, thankfulness. Church, while you're going through life, while you're walking in faith, don't let your faith just exist. Let it live. And as you go along your journey, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance is, good, bad, ugly, small, or large, find that moment and take that opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. It doesn't take a circumstance. It doesn't take an event. It just takes you saying, thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you have gathered us together to hear this. And I pray, Lord God, that it touches all of our hearts, that it challenges us to not take you for granted, but to remember you in all things and be grateful for all that you have done and simply for who you are, the fact that you are good and the fact that your mercy endures forever. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you continue to put a heart of gratefulness, a spirit of gratefulness in our hearts daily, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we give you the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. We say amen, amen, and amen.